On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
This is Audio Whiplash on the Tall Can Audio Network. Follow along on Twitter at Tall Can Audio or at facebook.com/tallcanaudio.
How's it going, man? Audio Whiplash 140, Tall Can Audio Network.
You talking to me?
I am talking to you, the only other person in the room.
Well, you know, we're speaking out to the greater, the mass of listeners that tune in.
We are? Oh, shit. It's a million things I wish I hadn't said on this.
Well, yes, it's true, man.
This room's mic'd?
As I was thinking about it, you're like, should I have said that?
Yeah.
Nah, it's out there now. Too late. Who cares?
Yeah.
Own that.
What's going on, man?
I'm good. I'm good. I appreciate you asking me.
Yeah.
And you listen to enough radio and podcasts of other varieties, and people always say, and how about you? What's happening with you?
Mm-hmm.
We rarely do that, right? That happens. That happens 5% of the time,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, no, you're fairly indifferent to what's happening with me.
It's sad, but it's true. I'm good, man.
Yeah.
We're closing in on the season of goodwill and cheer.
You finally got your tree up. I know you have a hard deadline or a set time. It can't go up before.
It cannot go up too early.
Mm-hmm. Which you said on the last episode of Whiplash was the 15th.
Yes. Tree is up.
Okay.
Tree is up. And God damn it, it smells fantastic. And I'm going to tell you, and I know you live in a condo.
Yep.
So you are an artificial guy.
Even if I didn't live in a condo, I'm just not dealing with the...
See, and through history, we've done a bunch, right? Gone fake, gone real, gone back to fake.
Yeah.
I get the fake. You can get some good fake trees now. There's no lying.
Mm-hmm.
Come with the lights, you know. So I'm not going to totally shat upon those who have a fake tree, even in their homes.
Yep.
But I love the smell of a real tree.
Sure.
And as you know, and any longtime listeners understand that I know a thing or two about Christmas trees.
Oh, yeah. It's right? True, man.
Selling them, working a charity lot, right? Roll in here. You get to see me on a charity lot. I'll sell you a tree. Come on.
How could you?
Don't try and fucking haggle me over a Christmas tree on a charity lot either. I'm not in for that.
Apparently this is a thing.
I'm not about that.
People want to haggle over their trees.
Well, and the reality is, these trees, a little more expensive than
this
you could get.
Top end tree.
Then you
this
could
tree
get,
will last you forever.
No, I'm not about that either.
Get the rust proof.
I'm not about that. But really, you can get a $20 tree at IKEA with your little $10 gift certificate that comes with it.
Yeah.
Right? And maybe your tree's okay. Maybe it's not. This is a charity tree lot. 100% of the proceeds go to charity.
Right.
I'm not getting a dime to speak to your stupid ass and stand out here in the cold doing it. right?
This is Christmas, Rob, everybody.
And it comes right down to it. You want $10 off that tree? I'd rather burn that fucking tree right in the middle of this lot than give it to you for $10 less. Forget it.
So what is the going rate on the lot for a fresh top of the line?
50, tree? 60,
yeah.
$70 for your top of the line,
right.
Fraser fir, right? Yeah. And some of those bad boys are 12 feet tall.
Sure.
Now the deal with a Fraser is, yeah, it's bigger. They're always taller. They're a little sparser, right?
Fraser's bound to let you down.
Well, it's down.
That's a little inside Fraser. For.
Yeah, well.
That's all right.
Yeah, I get you.
Yep.
But
I don't know if I've told this story on the show before. I got an artificial tree 2 or 3 years ago now, but probably 2 years ago. And I was actually out with my mom because she's far more decorative than I am.
It's a goddamn good beer, too, just for the record.
Okay, and we're going to get into that in just a sec.
Okay.
And so we're just at Canadian Tire, right? And
you're buying a Noma tree or whatever it is you're getting.
So there's a couple set up and we're walking around and I'm looking at them like, I don't know. And
I like the white one, Mom.
Mom, can I get this? So we're walking around and we're looking at some of these trees. She's like, I think this one for your space and whatever, I think this is probably a good one. And as we're sitting there looking at it, talking about it, someone else walks by and says, not even to someone there with, but to us, boy, this one's pretty ugly, eh? We've just decided that that's the one we're
getting. And your mom turned and said, hey, he can hear you.
Yeah, he's standing right there.
Who brought that guy here?
Yeah. And I know I've told this one on the story or on the show before, but it was quite a while ago. When I first moved into the last condo, this is what it reminded me of.
Yes.
Moved into the last condo, recarpeted both the bedroom and the, what was the studio space in that one. So there was some extra carpet left. I'm going to carry it down to my storage locker. And people know we've just moved in and everything. So, you know, they're assuming we're getting rid of what we don't want. Anyway, I'm trying to take this extra carpet down to the storage room. I'm waiting for the elevator and get in. And this woman takes one look at it and goes, oof, boy, bet you're glad to be getting rid of that. See, that's the one we just picked to put in. It's not even the shit we're getting rid of.
Well, see, and yes, I remember this. Now, clearly you were there, but I remember the story as you were coming up with the carpet.
No. The delivery.
And then somebody said to me, oof, that's good, but you're glad to be getting rid of that. And you're like, hey, the elevator's going up. You understand that, right?
No, it was us taking the what was left of it down. But yeah, maybe I don't have very good taste, I think, is what we're getting to.
Yeah.
At least from the seniors in the building. So what is this this great beer you got today?
It's actually the beer I brought you yesterday or the day before.
Oh, you had the last one?
I drank the last one. Sorry, I said I was going to leave it for you, but I changed my mind.
Yeah.
I thought, you know what? That's some smooth.
Because you were being awfully protective about the other one yesterday that you brought in, the brown ale. You're like, the stout was for him.
Yeah, I decided I'm going to give you that other brown ale.
It's early in the day. We'll see whether that one survives.
I didn't like it.
Okay.
But I had one of your, when I first walked in, I thought, I just need something smooth. I have some Tank House, which is going to be my go-to after this.
Yep.
But I thought, man, I need a little smooth thing, buff up on a couple of articles.
Yep.
So I thought.
So hit the brewery. Let's talk about it. We both enjoyed it.
So this is
I'm apparently done enjoying it.
Well, it's out in my neck of the woods, right?
Yeah.
It's Covered Bridge in Stittsville.
Yep.
So this is the Double Double Stout, right? So it's supposed to be, it's not a seasonal. And it's funny, where do we can get the Perfectum from Nida. That comes in a growler, yeah?
You can, yeah.
So I walked in and I said to the guy at Covered Bridge, I'm like, hey, can I get the double double in a growler? And he's like, it's a stout. It doesn't come in a growler, fool. Okay, now he didn't
That's
say
aggressive salesmanship.
He didn't say fool.
You'll buy it in the container. I tell you to buy it.
But I felt like it was implied,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, hey, savage.
Well, I wondered that too, because I don't know if we've mentioned it on the show. Got a keg fridge installed in the vicinity now. And there's been some odd looks when I've talked about wanting to get a keg of the stout, right? And that's not how you do that. You wouldn't know how to take care of that.
Well, I think only because it's like if you have Guinness, if you get a keg of Guinness, right,
you don't need a fridge for that.
Right. But you also need a separate line, yep. Right? For the nitrogen or whatever it is, right?
Right.
So there is a separate, whereas most of your cobblestone
Yeah, it'd be fine.
Most they don't have the little widget in the can. So this doesn't. So to me, I get it, right? It's like the same guy who says you don't drink a stout out of a can.
That's you. You're that guy.
Oh, sorry.
Sitting over there that fucking guy, doing it right now.
That guy is super smart, whoever said that. But really, and that comes down to your Murphy's and your Guinness, anything with the widget, which is, it's meant to be, you crack that, and it's to make the head creamy. You don't have the same. What's that?
Nothing. Carry on.
It's how you, this doesn't have that, so you don't have that same issue.
Right.
You don't drink a Guinness out of a can.
No.
That is, you might as well be wearing a t-shirt with no sleeves.
Yeah. It's Saturday at Matt's.
Yeah, you dirty hillbilly.
I am in drawing.
Hey, so let me tee that up for you.
Thank you.
I've never been more plowed in my life. What are you drinking? I understand you're still working through the advent calendar.
That's right.
I'm most interested because you were just chomping on your meaty tongue over there. So I thought I would.
Okay.
Lend a hand.
Thank you, I guess. This is the raspberry wheat.
Boo!
From, where'd it go?
Clock Tower.
Clock Tower Brew Pub, which is a local establishment / brewery here in Ottawa, obviously as most of these are in the area. I'm less booing it than you are. It's pretty tasty.
No, and yeah, to be fair to the people at Clock Tower, I'm just booing the concept of a raspberry wheat ale.
Sure. And if I was to walk into the LCBO or whatever, that probably wouldn't be what I went and reached for. But that has been half the fun of this, is being exposed to, you know, stuff that you probably wouldn't have picked up otherwise.
But have you not said here now in the middle of the month, this is your second raspberry wheat, or there was a blueberry something?
The blueberry was just yesterday. And so that's a little, you asked on the last Whiplash, which was 139, available at tallcanaudio.com, whether or not there was like a pattern or whether it was getting any darker as
the
week went on. Yeah. Or the month went on. And there really hasn't been anything like that. It's sort of been all over the map, which is fine. But here we are mid-December, and on back-to-back days, I've got a blueberry and a raspberry. And that's probably a little much for me, right? It's not really my style. So I don't know, even just in terms of spacing, in terms of how they set them up, maybe could have used a little. But if there is a pattern, I have not yet discovered it.
And I think this is their first year doing it, am I right?
Yes, that's right.
I think, yeah, you'd want to give better thought to that moving forward.
Right.
Now,
slide something in between. Hit me with an IPA even or a whatever.
Well, but this is it. And really what it comes down to is, I know there's only 24 days. It's not like, hey, this is a summer beer.
Sure.
For our, you know, it's like a calendar of beers.
Right.
So it's not like you can, yeah, sort of progress noticeably through the season.
Right.
It's just a month.
Yep.
But it's dark as shit in December anyways. 4:30, you're already in.
Hit me with a dark beer.
Hit me with a, it's the dark month, man.
For sure.
I've told the story before, but it's like being when I was in Australia and they have, it was October and they had a promo. At the Man at Arms pub, oldest pub in Australia, right down at the Rocks in Sydney, where if you drank 10 pints of Guinness in the month of October, you would get the dark month t-shirt.
What if you do it all in one night?
I did it all in one night. That's like, exactly. I drank 12 and they gave me two t-shirts. They're like, hey man, here's two t-shirts for you. I'm like, awesome.
You can use one of them to wipe in the morning.
Yeah. I'm going to clean with the vomit. No, Guinness is good for that. Guinness is good for that, ladies and gentlemen. It'll stabilize you, keep you upright, still drinking.
Yeah. Keep them coming.
Love it.
So, yeah, that's, I've definitely still been enjoying the calendar, but maybe a different spread.
Well, because who doesn't love the idea? The advent calendar is a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is that they're trying to suck you in with, right?
Yep.
I've seen them with tea.
Sure.
I've seen, you know, obviously the chocolate.
Yep.
Beer.
I've seen wines. I've seen, you know, all kinds.
See, that gets, honestly, it gets expensive, right?
For sure it does. But this has been pretty good. So we'll keep rolling on and update as we go. So as we move forward, we're going to talk a little music here. And I came across an interesting tidbit.
Crisscrossed?
Yes. in preparing for the show that I wanted to hit you with and see if
interesting. You found it interesting, or did somebody else tell you it was interesting?
I found it interesting.
Okay.
Judgmental prick.
And it's interesting.
Nah, it's interesting. Interesting. This week in 1986.
Sweet, sweet year.
All Through the Night by Cyndi Lauper became the fourth song to hit the top five on Billboard from the same album. So if I've not presented that enough.
Yeah, okay.
There were four songs on this one album by Cyndi Lauper that all hit the top five in the Billboard.
How many four songs?
There were four songs. Okay. All Through the Night became the fourth. I feel like I've given you the hardest one.
Okay. Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Man, I'm surprised it's 86.
Because the song came out, and I was surprised by that as well, in 84. But that was like the breakthrough.
Thank you. Whatever. So, okay, and so two. Wow, that's weird.
So there was no album until.
Okay, so Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Yep.
All Through the Night.
Yep.
She Bop.
No. It is on the album, but it didn't hit the top five.
True Colors.
True Colors is one of them. Oh, come on.
So not She Bop, eh?
No.
To me, that's.
I know that's a big one for you.
True Colors, All Through the Night.
If you're lost and you look and you will find me.
Time After Time.
Time After Time.
Sweetness. See, and really, I didn't like Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Why not?
Well.
Have a good time, man.
I like girls. Yeah. It was annoying.
Okay.
Despite the fact that Captain Lou Albano was in the video. But I don't mind those other songs, including She Bop.
She Bop was off the same album. There was another song, and I don't super mega bonus points. There was one that reached six, so didn't quite reach into the top five, but also off that album. I Drove All Night was on that album. Now, I've heard 100 covers of that. I had no idea it was originally Cyndi Lauper's tune.
Okay.
But all of them from that same album. Not too bad.
Yeah, well, in mid-80s, and again, it's funny you say that, 84. To me, I think of this album and Madonna's Like a Virgin album.
Okay.
As sort of the two sort of iconic mid-80s albums. It is interesting. And really, it's one of those things where...
But man, to throw four tunes into the top five on Billboard,
and five in the top six.
Yeah. Well, and the other one, She Bop, didn't get there, but coming, you know, in retrospect from down the road, you look and it's every bit as big as those, in terms of a cult.
And plays in long... I bet you She Bop gets played more now than...
All Through the Night.
All Through the... Well, I know that song, but yeah, I would say She Bop gets played more in now than it did then.
No doubt. No, well, it was a very conservative society. You couldn't possibly talk about...
Well, and we talked about it before, but the idea that Madonna at...
Who I thought that song was by.
At the Grammy. We had that conversation.
Yeah.
You know, her writhing on the stage at the... Wherever it was, the
writhing,
Grammys or...
Great word for it.
Yeah, but that was like people were like, oh my God.
Yep.
She's in a wedding dress and she's humping the ground or whatever she's doing, right? Christ, now people are just wearing, again, probably due to Madonna, thongs on stage, metal bras.
Awesome. Like what award shows are you watching?
That's just a Madonna, that's just a Madonna video, right?
I see people coming out in meat suits and weird shit like that. Makes you wonder exactly what the cause is supposed to be here. But.
Well, and see, and I was someplace recently where.
Oh boy.
Okay, it's a different
in
story.
In his meat suit.
It's a different story. It wasn't really a suit. It was more of a popsicle.
Jesus, the meat popsicle.
No, the term edibles.
Yeah.
Edibles comes up, right? And for now, obviously, with all the edible. You know, you got your edible marijuana stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And so you get it in gummy bears. And forever, edibles was always...
Underwear.
You got it, man. Look at you.
Yep.
Now take that back.
Wearing it right now.
That whole day.
In case I get hungry during the show.
Super, super warm right at this point.
Actually, there's a bit of a draft at this point.
Okay.
I started early.
Yeah, I was just going to say draft from the inside or draft from the outside.
It's a two-way
street. It's not helping the heat. I think that's actually working towards that. Why is it so warm?
Yeah.
Anyways, I don't know where I'm
going. No, I know you don't. I'm going to bail you. This week, or this past week, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame unveiled their...
Rock and Roll! Hoochie Coo!
Unveiled their...
Rick Derringer.
2019 induction class. It's diverse. The big names would be Stevie Nicks going in for a second time. She's
really?
Already
Do you think
with,
that's the biggest name? That's where you're starting?
I got a few of them.
Come on, man. Do better.
I know you're more about Janet Jackson for some reason. She goes into the...
We are a part of the Rhythm Nation. Come on, man.
In the Rock and Roll
It's Miss Jackson, if you're nasty.
I'm sorry, Miss Jackson.
No, two different things.
I am for real.
No. Rascals?
Not the... Outkast.
Outkast.
Yeah. Now I'm lost. Who else did we have going in?
Radiohead.
Radiohead.
The Cure.
An interesting one. The Cure for sure was one of the big ones going in.
Curious. Radiohead deserves to be in there.
Sure. I'm willing to give you that. It's curious because a year ago, they were slagging the...
Oh.
We don't care about this when they didn't get in on their first nomination.
And Def Leppard.
Def Leppard.
And Roxy Music.
Roxy.
I'll give two of them.
Yeah, sure. So let's start with Janet Jackson.
Yep.
We could easily kick around the thing that we've done in years past where Rock and Roll Hall of Fame versus the Music Hall of Fame. Yeah, there's nothing about Janet Jackson that's rock and roll. Right. But I think they've long since established that's not really what they're going for.
Right.
Where does she fit in for you in terms of... You know, big enough names. I largely missed. I caught kind of the late 90s Janet Jackson resurgence. Yeah. And then the Super Bowl thing that ended her career and launched Justin's.
The wardrobe malfunction.
Yeah. There's nothing about Janet Jackson, to me, that screams Hall of Fame of any kind. But I understand I missed a lot of it.
Yeah. Well, and really that whole... Nasty Boys, which was mid-80s, was a huge thing, sort of a breakout on her own, separate from her brother. But to me, she really came into her own in sort of 89, late 80s with Rhythm Nation. I was just...
Yes, butchering.
Yeah, well, some would say she did the same.
Okay.
But yeah, that was... And it was interesting. So doing a little show prep work, it was the... top-selling album of 1990, but never once reached number one on the Billboard Top 100 in 1990. And I'm like, how is that possible? But it was
four weeks,
the end of 89, it had spent at number one, and then sort of cruised over into 90. That was a huge album. And you know what? I can't think of what else came off of it.
Right.
But there was a bunch of hits that came off that album. So to me, Rhythm Nation, late 80s, early 90s, mm-hmm. that probably cemented anything she needed to do.
I do want to circle back to what I said about Radiohead being curious. A year ago, they were eligible. I think it's 25 years after your first album.
Exactly.
So they were eligible, didn't get in, and they had a couple of members who... I was probably too harsh to say slagged the thing, but said, we don't care. That's not what music is about. It's not a big thing for us, you know, whatever. And then a year later, and I think actually one of them had said, I wouldn't go if I was nominated.
And people say not invited.
Yep. This year you are invited.
You're going.
Yes. And they released a statement, you know, we were honored by the selection and all this stuff. Like, and maybe correctly so, believing that people only have a 364-day memory these days.
Man.
Can you just kind of skate on that? There's a certain amount of anti-establishment in all music, right? Or in a lot of music that's just musicians being musicians and they can still get in. And I don't know. I'm a little surprised after that they didn't make them wait a couple more years, right? Okay. Then fuck you.
Well, it's like Terrell Owens, right? He was saying that he didn't get inducted and he's like, yeah, fuck you. And then they did. And then he went,
yeah. Right.
It's to me, that's just bitter diva.
Right.
And Diva gets thrown around. But yeah, it's just that whole idea of that I'm a star.
Right.
And I'm not being recognized. I don't care about you. And then you go, okay, yeah, I do.
Well, I know you wouldn't say this about Radiohead, but it's kind of punk rock, right? This anti-establishment, this...
It certainly is alternative.
You can't judge music. Music is a feeling. Music is a whatever. The Hall of Fame is... And then a year later, hey, we're super proud to be part of this.
Yep.
And okay.
Yep. Well, and I think...
It would have been cooler if they had said, we still don't care.
Right. I think there's a lot of athletes, right? There's a lot of musicians. You go, they're a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
I'm not sure Radiohead is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Well, so, that was born out, right?
No, I know. And you go, but to me, that is a top end band.
Yep.
Right? In terms of stuff. And you go, look at other bands further down the list. Now, Stevie Nicks, maybe there's less urgency because she went in with Fleetwood Mac.
Well, so Stevie Nicks was the next one I wanted to talk about. She is the first woman to go in twice. So what that means is, as Rob said, she went in with her band, and now she's going in as an individual. We've seen others do that. We've seen Michael Jackson go in with the Jackson 5, and then Michael Jackson. There's 20 men that are in twice. This is the first woman. Does that matter?
Well, I think you and I did a show here a while ago, and Cher in the late 90s was the first female to, I can't remember what the stat was, but it was, I remember thinking, what?
Female?
You know, that in the late 90s or mid 90s, whatever it was, that at that point, whatever milestone she had achieved, you went, wow, that's weird that it had taken that long.
Right.
When you think of the plethora of female artists before that, and you go, why is it taking so long? Yeah, I think there's a lot of female performers.
Mm-hmm. Not a lot of female fronted bands.
That's right.
Made it at that level.
Those who come from other bands and then bang, make it on their own.
Yeah.
Right? So I think there is a difference there. But no, it's weird. It is odd that in 2018... This is the first female to be inducted twice.
Can you think of one that
female
should have gone before her in terms of females that could have gone in twice? I mean, we've seen your Janis Joplins, right? We've seen but you know, a lot of it is women seem to make it more as individuals than they do as.
How about Joan Jett?
Yeah. These are the types that I am, you know, thinking of, right? Like
the Runaways, who I don't think are making it into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame anytime soon.
Right.
I think Lita Ford was also in the Runaways. I'm not entirely sure. Now, I don't think Lita Ford is making it into the Hall of Fame either, but...
I think this is noteworthy. I would be surprised if there was any political... It's time to get a woman in twice, right? I think this is probably... Stevie Nicks did some stuff on her own that made her warn... And I liked her statement and that she said, I've always played in a band and that's how I see myself. I'm honored by this, but...
Right.
You know...
She's in that, she's throwing a little sunlight towards.
She's throwing some love to her her band.
To her band, who tours with her and says, it's more than just me.
Right.
Love that. Out of this list, to me, there's two other that sort of stick out. The Cure and Def Leppard.
Yep.
My younger brother. So as a guy who in the 80s was loving the Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, Def Leppard, the Pyromania album, which came out, I think, in about 83, 84.
Right.
To me, that's quintessential dirt music. If you don't have that, it's right up there with Appetite for Destruction.
Yeah.
Back in Black by AC/DC. These are staple dirt albums that if you don't have, I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
You have no, you know, hand in your hockey haircut. Or your mullet, I think, has become more popular these days. But that album it cooks. It still cooks now, 35 years later, Pyromania.
Right. I always think of, as a guy, as, you know, a bit younger, didn't live through that era.
The Hysteria album.
I always think of them as almost kind of when you're getting ready to mock that 80s. You know, that they're kind of that right out in front. Ha ha, right.
Okay, like, yeah, but you're thinking of that Hysteria album, which is Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Three times a night in any strip club, right?
Yeah. Like, see, that is, that to me, Hysteria came, that was, that's late 80s came, it was the album after Pyromania.
Right.
But Pyromania was just good, torn down, bare bones rock and roll.
Yeah.
Like, to me, there's a bunch of photographs off that album, but Foolin', Rock of Ages, like it is, that album, it does in a sort of rock and roll way, it cooks still. To me, it's still got legs.
Got legs. Sorry,
yeah,
different band.
Yeah, different band altogether.
I wanted to talk about The Cure just a little bit because they interviewed one of the members, and I'll share the article in all the usual places.
Was it Robert Smith?
It
was not.
Was not
he, yeah,
Robert
I was going to say.
No.
He.
And they asked, you know, how many different, there's been a ton of turnover in that band. How many previous members might be included in your performance, right? Or in your, I would expect none, right? The members that are in this now, we all kind of agree it's the best ever version of the band, which what would any of them say, otherwise that are in there now?
That's bogus.
I wonder how much of, you know, if you're, I'm certainly not, but if you're a longtime fan of The Cure, would you not at least have to recognize or, the guy who helped get us started here? Like, there's got to be, do you pick the best lineup and which
albums
members
are
going
success?
In? Yeah, okay. But it's the current members who are going to be invited to this and who will perform at this. You know, there's...
That's a very interesting point,
yeah,
because
we see this with a lot of bands that either break up or someone, you know, is unable to continue or whatever. You replace a bass player or you replace a drummer or...
I have colitis. I can't make it.
Sure. The Girl with Colitis goes by. classic tune.
The Beatles, ladies and gentlemen. Sure.
I don't know. It's an interesting question that this is far from the first time that it would have had to have been, you know, looked at going into the Hall of Fame. But do you have to invite everyone that's ever played for the band and then only the current ones will perform? Like, it's an interesting.
Okay. And it's totally different, but it's the same. Watching the Bare Naked Ladies at the Junos last year get inducted in, and they have, what's his name there?
Stephen Page.
He's the guy who was turfed out.
I believe so.
Yeah. He was on stage.
Okay.
He came on.
They invited him on for.
That's right.
Yes.
Despite him being gone from the band for 10 years.
Yep.
When he is, to me, you can't have, like, the Bare Naked Ladies aren't the Bare Naked Ladies without Stephen Page.
Right.
However, when they were doing their speech and everything else, the one band member, tall, skinny guy.
Yep.
Who his twin brother was in the band in that sort of Gordon era.
Right.
He was not on stage. He was in the audience and they gave him a shout out and he sort of waved back. But to me, he is in their golden era.
Yes.
He's in the band, yet he's not on stage in the induction, which is odd.
Right. Well, when you think of classic, like the biggest one, and they've already gone in, but his Guns N' Roses, right? And the feuding that went on in that band.
For sure.
Forever.
We'll never tour again.
Right. And I'm broke. I could use... Should we tour again?
It's a lot of heroin, man.
So this happens a lot, right? In terms of, as you've said, do you want the golden era members or do you want the current members?
And usually it's your first three or four albums, most success.
Yes.
And then it sort of peters out from there.
Yeah, you get to ride on that for a while.
And then you go, so the guys in that, or girls in that golden era, they have to be up on stage.
Doesn't sound like they're going to be with The Cure.
No, to me, The Cure, who cares?
Okay.
I
wondered what your, as someone, this whole class is a little before my.
Okay, and it's so interesting. And as I was looking through in preparation for this topic, right, I was sort of looking through, trying to see, and I thought Rhythm Nation was an 89 release. And so I'm looking at top hits of, top albums of 89, going, why isn't it there? Why can't I find that? But I find it in 90. 89, Long Cold Winter by Cinderella. It's in the top 10. As a Dyed in the Wool 80s dirt metal guy.
Yeah.
I love that album, Long Cold Winter.
Yeah.
So at the same time,
right ahead of the Beaches soundtrack.
Yeah, for sure. No, after the Beaches soundtrack. But there's all kinds of other sort of that hair.
Yeah.
Warrant is on there.
Right. Mr. Big? Was there any Mr. Big?
There was no Mr. Big. Two Guns N' Roses albums. Yeah, so Appetite for Destruction and Lies were both in there. So yeah, I shared a bedroom in this unfinished portion of the house. Huge room, maybe 25 by 18 feet, right? This big room.
Yeah.
I had a double bed on one side. My younger brother had a double bed on the far side. And so I'm listening to loving.
Alternating between Def Leppard and ABBA albums or something.
But he's over there. He's loving New Order, Depeche Mode, The Cure, The Smiths.
I hate Depeche
Mode. Right? All that. And so he's got that over there. And over here, I got Aerosmith and Cinderella. I love that album at that same time, right? And he was
Wasp.
He was a fuck like a beast, right? That's so great. But yeah, this very sort of polar opposites in terms of music.
Yeah.
And so I used to say to him, Cure. So gay, so gay. They had a song called Man in My Mouth.
Whoa.
Well, this is it, right? And so
it's a little on the nose.
Just
below the nose.
Yeah, exactly. Right on the stash. But yeah, I have an appreciation for some Cure moving forward from there, right? Yeah, I hated it at the time, and I probably smashed a couple of his tapes in those days, right, and whatever else. But, the Smiths, New Order and Depeche Mode, I have also some grudging respect for them. And that comes from him, right? And so your music tastes are always better the more diverse they are.
For sure. You were kind of shitting on what I had going on out in the kitchen there, but that's all right.
Well, that's country music, and nobody likes that.
Nuts.
In terms of diversity of listening to music, and it's, I hate sort of reality TV.
Yeah.
But the one thing that does sort of resonate with me is I still like to listen to The Voice, right? I like to watch that. I could really care less for the hosts, for the celebrity, coaches.
I don't know if I've ever seen The Voice. This is the new American Idol.
Well, it's new. There's been 15 episodes of it. Yeah. Where you come out and nobody can see you. The four coaches have their backs to you.
Okay.
Right? So that, yeah. Well, exactly what you're laughing about is, they don't look at you and go, oh, fuck.
It's right? Adele.
Or, oh my God, she's gorgeous, or he's gorgeous, whatever, but it sucks.
Yeah.
It's strictly they're selecting you by their voice, by your voice.
Yeah. Okay.
And so clearly you have the coaches and Adam Levine of Maroon 5 and then Blake Shelton of country music fame have been the two pillars. They've been on all 15 series.
Okay.
The two in the middle will always change, right? You've had CeeLo Green in the early years, Christina Aguilera.
Okay.
Pharrell. It's now Kelly Clarkson and Jennifer Hudson.
Kelly Clarkson of American Idol fame.
Yes.
Okay.
But she's been the last 2 years.
Okay.
And so everybody has their own sort of what they listen to, what they like, what they sort of lean towards. And it's amazing who do you think has won the most in terms of the coach who's had the winning singer? Who would you suggest has won the most? Not knowing.
So the famous singer is a coach.
Yes. Yeah. So they pick teams.
Okay.
And they each have 10 singers, and then it goes, works its all way
down. So my choices are Adam Levine or Blake Shelton.
Or Blake Shelton, right? So you have Maroon 5, who's very poppy and very, and then you have Blake Shelton, who's your country guy.
I mean, I have no idea. I would say Blake Shelton, just because to me that's more, for country or not, is more of a musician than Maroon 5's kind of poppy.
Yeah, but what sells more, do you think?
Yeah, okay.
No, I'm asking. I'm not...
I would imagine... I think country music's kind of down a little bit.
Well, but Blake has won, I think, double the number of... I think Adam's won 3 seasons, and I think Blake's won 5.
All right. I was right.
You were absolutely right. I just wanted to... The idea, the concept is that, pop music...
is far more popular, but less talented, in my estimation.
For sure, yeah. Right? And so going into in this 15th or 16th season, whatever they're in
Jesus
now.
Jesus Christ.
Well, now I think they do two seasons in a year, yeah, in a calendar year.
Still.
But it's fascinating that clearly, you know, a lot of it is voted on by viewers.
Mm-hmm.
Your country music / Southern rock really is.
There's a huge, huge portion of the American population in those flyover states, right? That,
yeah,
that love their still kind of something with a little twang in it.
Yeah. Well, okay. And funny you say that. There's a 16-year-old girl. I think she's 16, who's in the final four. And she has, in the last 2 weeks, she's sang Blue by Leanne Rimes.
Yeah.
Country Girl by Loretta Lynn.
Okay.
And so she does a little yodeling even, right? And I don't mind listening to her for that throwback feel, right?
Yep. Yeah.
But it's interesting to see what it is in terms of musical diversity. And I know we've gone way off tangent.
Yeah.
Right. But the idea of what people are listening to and what drives people. And as you say, in those flyover states, your Nebraskas and your Idahos of, yeah, the world.
Your Lindsay's, your Peterborough.
People are still in touch with that. That still resonates with a lot of people.
Well, and those names that you just mentioned, like to me are, I've never shied away from, well, when I was younger, I did. I've never really shied away from the idea that,
there's a lot bracelet,
of country music that I don't mind. But I don't know almost any country from the last two decades. But the stuff that you kind of grew up with in my parents'
your
house,
Randy
where it was
Travis
a,
and your,
well, a little
John
later than
Michael
that.
Michael Montgomery.
There's some of that, yeah. A little Garth Brooks, though, and Alan Jackson and Brooks and Dunn.
Alan Jackson's a guy I can picture him, white, yeah, hat, blonde, yeah, mustache.
Yep.
But you go, I can't remember that guy's name.
So, like, the country music I have in my collection is very much like this kind of 8-year period.
You and me going fishing in the dark. Is that that's Nitty Gritty Dirt Band? Is that not?
Could be.
Come on, man.
I told you, if it's not in those 8 years.
You blew it.
Just before we get out of here, we wanted to talk about.
You wanted more Rhythm Nation,
obviously.
Rob, can you hit me with some more Rhythm Nation? No, I can't, Matt. That's all we have. Okay.
I'm not even needed here. Everyone's known for quite a while.
Yes. Yeah. Just push the buttons, Matt.
There was an article in Rolling Stone here this last weekend about nostalgia for the 90s, which you immediately recoiled from as more of an 80s guy, right? And I think that's a big part of it is the decade where you kind of came into your own, you know, your teenage years, your early 20s, the soundtrack to all your parties.
Well see, my 80s are your 90s.
That's exactly right. So there was a ton of talk about, and I was noticing it myself, even in terms of music that I was hearing coming out, a bunch of suddenly talk about the 90s. And part of it I just kind of wrote off as there's a lot of people getting old like me that suddenly, you know, the same way in the 90s, that 70s show was a big thing, right? Like,
yep,
you're always going to be a little nostalgic for your own time period when you were young. But it seemed to become really pronounced this year. And it's a fairly diverse decade. The early 90s kind of centered around your Pearl Jams and your Nirvanas.
And grunge, for sure.
And by the end of the 90s, it was.
But I'm down with that.
Your Britneys and your Christinas, right?
Changing. Backstreet Boys.
Yeah.
And
all of a sudden
Spice
becoming
Girls.
Huge. All sort of in
which
one decade.
Which tells you all you need to know about that decade.
Well, just in terms of its diversity. Right. Like, and the article referenced some good points that you can look at things and go, that was a 90s style, right, in terms of clothing or a type of joke or a reference or whatever. And I think the main point they were trying to make, and I'll share it at Tall Can Audio on Twitter, facebook.com/TallCanAudio, was that since 2000, it's been really hard to pick out, hey, that was so 2007, right? Or,
yeah,
that was so 2012. Are we just not far enough away from it, yeah, yet? Or is this
of course we are. It's one of those things where and you as a guy in your mid 30s,
yeah,
you go, it all just after I'm 21, yeah, or 22, it all just the shit just blends together.
Well, I didn't write the article, but
no, I'm, no,
I was feeling it a little.
I know, yeah. But I'm sure the guy who wrote the article is probably in his 30s.
Sure, yeah.
And you sort of go, yeah, I don't have that. Whereas the things you have, and so for me, as a guy who was in high school from late 80s through early 90s,
yeah,
you go, yeah, you talk about Cyndi Lauper, you talk about what, any of those things, and you go, yeah, I'm sure that's in 84. And you're like, yeah, it came out in 84,
right.
But it charted in sort of, I have that fairly tight.
Yep.
Because of my age, right? And so to me, the stuff that you're talking about, you loving, as you're turning 18, 19, man, the millennium is a bit of a blur for me, right? And there's a bunch of other shit going on for me, sort of late 90s in through the 05s. Whereas people who are in high school in those times,
mm-hmm.
2010, people who are in high school, they're like, yeah, that, love that, you know.
That Katy Perry album.
Yeah, or When September Comes by Green Day or whatever. And you're like, that's garbage, Green Day. Right? But yet, for somebody, that's like, yeah, mm-hmm. that's so 2010 or whatever the year is. I'm just pulling that sure. out of my fucking hat.
Yeah.
It is totally an age thing, right? Where you go, yeah, you now, people who are writing articles for Rolling Stone are in their 30s and they're like, I don't get that shit. I have no connection.
But there was a ton of evidence that they cited that it became a thing this year. So are we talking about musicians all hitting their 30s? They mentioned a couple of these musicians that were born in 1992 and in 1996. They have no nostalgia feel for the 90s, but it's a thing, right? That,
well, they have a feel for it because anybody who's musically driven or interested or however you want to see that,
mm-hmm.
that comes down to A, yeah, sometimes you're motivated that way. But in a lot of cases, your parents or your uncle or somebody you know has impacted you. Or,
right. That's right.
And you go, music was a big part of my house.
Yeah.
Music was always playing. And you've even cited it. Yeah, my well, country.
We've talked about this country thing.
Yeah, my country music is.
Country, yeah.
Yeah, my mom loves that.
Yeah.
Blank. And so it was always playing in yep. my house. And so I think if people born in the early 90s, yeah, they're just 25 now.
But why is it not? Because in 2005, you could point at Pearl Jam and go, that's so 90s. That was, at that point, that was only 10 years removed. Here we are now in 2018, so 13 years removed from 2005. There's nothing about it that makes you go, oh, that's a style from 2005, or that's a band or a TV show. Like, there is something different, and maybe it's just the mass exposure from the internet. Maybe it's, I don't know, but it all seems so blended now.
Well, and see, and I don't know that's a deal. I do think it becomes a time frame, and I don't disagree with you on principle. Because
there's 80s hair metal, right? There's 70s drug culture. There's, you know, well, this article points all these decades. The 70s, roaring 20s.
70s arena rock.
Right.
Honestly, man, it was stadium rock. Like shit
sure.
that just
you Big went, band yeah. 50s or whatever you want. 40s more likely probably. But like
sock hop 50s.
And swing.
And your psychedelic 60s. Honestly,
what are we going to remember 20 to 2010 for?
Well, and you've never seen the movie Dazed and Confused?
No.
Okay,
I've
so
never seen any movie ever.
early 90s, maybe mid 90s, right? And it takes place in 77, I think. And they're talking about it and they're like, oh, the 60s were so cool.
Right.
And the 70s are so lame. And they're like, you know, there's always the every other decade theory, right?
Yep.
Where
yep.
you're like, the 60s were cool and clearly the 70s are so lame. The 80s are just going to kick ass.
Oops.
And, yeah. Well, this is it, right? And so the 80s may have been, those who lived it and went through it, may have been the squarest decade ever.
Right.
But come the 2000s, people loved the 80s. And,
yes.
and they look back on
we 80s. We have 80s night at nightclubs or whatever, these bars.
The nostalgia that comes
Halloween,
with.
Halloween, there's always this kind of shit, right?
And like, so the 80s has this, which those of us who lived through it and were in high school in it, you're like, ugh, oh my God, this is so lame.
Right.
Yet
20 years later.
Well, and I said it, I was somewhere last winter. I was in a cab, but I took a train someplace, Kingston, and I'm hopping in a cab and he's listening to, and Tears for Fears comes on.
Nice.
Right. And but
everybody wants to rule the world.
Well, this is what it was. I think that's what it was. And it was, in 83 or 84, I'm like, I hate Tears for Fears. Songs from the Big Chair.
Yeah, yeah.
Who gives a shit? That's lame.
Yeah.
Yet now I listen to those hits off that album and I'm like,
takes me back.
I know all the lyrics to this song. Yeah. Why do I know all the lyrics?
Right.
So to me, it's what you live through, whether you loved it or not. Man, I heard Pointer Sisters. I'm so excited the other day. And you're like, but that's not something I ever listened to. I'm so excited and I just can't hide it. I'm about to lose control. Yeah. No one, you don't want to join me? No.
I think I like it.
Yeah. I think I like it. Yeah. So I just think it's the age of the people who are writing it. I think if you went a decade younger than you, people know.
I think that's all
so
true.
05.
I think. See, maybe.
I think you're not getting it. And I'm certainly not getting it. But
I don't know. I think as we sit here 13 years later, that's not an insignificant amount of time to have passed to be able to point at something and go, I don't know what that's going to be remembered for. I, like you say, the 90s grunge or pop thing, the 80s hair metal, the 70s arena bands, whatever you want to, the bell bottoms, stuff like that. And you just keep going
Bay
back
City
and back
Rollers,
and back.
Baby. S-A-T-U-R-D-A-Y. Hey. Yeah, no?
You're singing a lot in this show, man. It's kind of good.
I feel, well, and you know what?
Isolate some of this.
And this speaks directly to me because I've always listened to music.
Yep.
Forever, right? Like now, as still a guy who was born in the early 70s, I'm still listening to as much music as I can listen to.
Yeah.
And so I always use music to identify
yes.
time frames in my life. And you go, oh, that's this was happening in my life at that point. So that never changes for me, although clearly you feel music most intimately.
Yeah.
In your sort of,
and there's been tons of studies done on that, or that
I've done a couple actually,
independent of any decade,
mostly anecdotal
or age, whatever you're listening to from kind of ages 12 to 17, for you will always be the greatest era. Even if you find new bands later, they will
the
be
greatest.
From that era that you missed at that time, kind of thing. Right?
Yeah,
your brain will just kind of naturally register with that time and place and that sound and. And there's something to that. So it was an interesting article anyway. And I do think there's something to your point that it's just as you get older, we all look back at our own time period. But there is something about this year, the 90s was a big thing. And there was a bunch of songs released about it. There was different shows that tried to take a stab at going back to this kind of 90s feel. There's something about it that was kind of the last really identifiable decade, at least for now, I guess,
well,
to your point.
You right are here. Looking at, and again, you have more shows, the Goldbergs and the Kids Are All Right yeah. and all those sort of things, which are 80s sort of shows, mm-hmm. right? So that whole, that 70s thing or
well,
Happy
but we
Days
saw,
in the
like,
Past.
They've relaunched Roseanne. Murphy Brown is coming back, right? Like we're trying this stuff. Like
yeah.
we're going back to that.
Couldn't care less about
no,
either one of
sure,
those.
Sure, but people do.
No, I know.
It was a huge deal.
Yeah. I know. So that's what I'm saying is yeah, we've now just moved forward a decade and interesting. No, forget it, but not that interesting. Interesting for another show. Interesting.
Sure. All right. We can wind this one down. We got some great stuff and some of this will dovetail a little bit into a show we've got coming between Christmas and New Year's. We'll do our usual year in review. And I think some of what we're talking about, or at least some of your point is going to shine through when I have to talk about maybe some of the music that I discovered in 2018.
You don't have to talk about it.
Okay. Well, show's off, folks.
Okay. See you in 2019,
yeah,
folks.
Basically, that's it. We'll wind this one down. That's Audio Whiplash number 140. And we got lots of stuff coming up. We've gotten a few questions already asking whether or not we're going to do our annual World Junior show on Christmas Eve. We are doing that.
Is the Pope Catholic?
Honest to God. Silly questions, folks. But we got lots of great stuff coming up through the holiday season, and we'll talk to you as those ones approach. Until then, I'm Matt, he's Rob, and we'll see you on the next Audio Whiplash.
I can speak for myself. Or not.
I am unhappy with the confusing and at times confrontational nature of that meeting. I wanted it to go better. I wanted it to go better!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.